time for our classic pick of the week and time for me to welcome regular guest Chris Carey, who volunteers his time each week to research and select our classic pick and then kindly comes in and shares his findings with us. And I know he's very excited to talk about Supertramp today.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Supertramp is awesome. But they really are. And we're talking about Breakfast in America, which was their biggest album. It came out March 29th, 1979, so 40 years ago this week. Supertramp was, they formed in 69 and actually went by the name Daddy before they changed their name to Supertramp, so I'm glad they changed it.
Yes, me too.
They formed in 1969 in London, and it played out for a little while, and then got signed to A&M Records in 1970. The co-founders, Roger Hodgson and Davies, they were kind of the songwriting team and the heart and soul of the band. The first formation, the first two albums kind of had a different incarnation than with their third album, Crime of the Century, which came out in 1974. And is actually, that's my favorite Supertramp album. But this is a very good album. It's probably my second favorite Supertramp album. So when in 1974, and they had a new lineup and were... They started off pretty much as a prog band. I mean, they were right there along, you know, all the other prog stuff going on in the early 70s. And with their later formation, even though they still had proggy kind of tendency, they kind of incorporated a little bit more pop into what they were doing. And that 1974 album, they had two hits, which was Dreamer and Bloody Well Right, and that kind of got them on the radar of a lot of people. Those first two albums didn't sell very much at all, and the label wasn't very happy. But with the third album and two hits, they got pretty happy. And the fourth and fifth album didn't make a lot of didn't get a lot of attention for the band. They did have one hit, Give a Little Bit, which I think is a great song. But during this time, they toured a lot, and this is when they got the reputation for being a really good live band. And what's crazy about this is, I mean, I always talk about if I had a time machine, who I'd go back and see. Mm-hmm. And there, I mean, I've got a long list. If I had a time machine, I've always said that if I had a time machine, the first thing I would do is go back and see a lot of different shows. I wish I could. Then I'd go back and invest, so I'd be rich as hell now. And then I'd go see Dinosaurs. But Supertramp is actually one of the first bands I'd want to go back and see, because I've always read it how good they were live. And there was actually a guy who I knew who's an artist manager from the 1970s. He's seen tons of music, and the guy, he always told me that the best show he ever saw was a Supertramp show, and he's seen a lot of shows, so that tells me they were pretty good. And I always think too is like they were one of the first pop bands that really incorporated a lot of like brass into what they were doing.
Yeah, that's what I like about them.
I liked them too. I mean, there's something about tuba and baritone and French horn and pop music that's kind of awesome. And so anyway. They got a really good reputation of being live, and when they finally got together for Breakfast in America, and they co-wrote everything, it just all kind of came together. And when they were in the studio, most people said that they were that everything kind of just, everybody was super chill and got along great, and there was no stress. And I think that kind of came out in the album. Production credit goes for Supertramp and Peter Henderson. And Peter Henderson, he did a lot of engineering work and some production work for like Frank Zappa and Rush and America and Wings. And so, and these guys recorded in the Village Recorder in LA, which is, there's a million bands and movies and stuff that have, soundtracks of movies that have been recorded there. The one thing to note is what was kind of their signature sound was the Wurlitzer electric piano, which really first started getting used a lot by Supertramp on their 1974 album, and you can hear it on pretty much every song here. Critically, I mean, from the get-go, everybody loved this album. They went from kind of somewhat known to major superstars in a few weeks. The record was on the top Billboard Top 200 for at least 2 months. They had four singles, three of them were top 20 hits. The album went four times platinum in the year it was released, which is 4 million sold in the US. They also went platinum in Canada, France, Germany, and UK with this album. And over time, I think today this album sold over 20 million copies. It's still considered kind of the high watermark for the band. And today it's like, any greatest hits that you can find, any list of greatest albums of all time, this one's always on it. what was kind of cool about this, and I didn't know this about them, is that following this album, they went on this massive 120-day tour, and apparently all throughout North America and Europe, they were breaking attendance records, like, everywhere. Like, before this album, I mean, I'm probably since then there's been some other tours that have eclipsed this, but at the time, this was, like, the tour. Everybody couldn't believe how many people they were pulling out. And then after this, they had a few more albums, some of which were pretty successful, but they never matched the success they saw on this album. And in 1983, Hodgson left the band, and Davies still has done some shows since then. But yeah, I mean, this is an amazing band, and I think what's really cool about this band is they're one of the few bands that kind of really brought prog leanings into the mainstream. And you know, prog has always been kind of one of those, you know, genres that's kind of at the periphery, and right. It's usually just kind of music geeks that are in it and into it. And, you know, like early Genesis and a lot, Yes is probably the other band that brought prog into the mainstream, yeah. But not to the degree that Supertramp did. And because of that, they're pretty notable. Is it?
Well, I think the thing about them too, is it's playful prog. You know what I mean? I mean, not to say that it's not artful and that sort of thing, but there's, you can hear sort of like a glee and the
they're not too serious.
It. Yeah. Whereas when I think about Yes and Genesis, it's just a little bit more pointy headed, and you know,
they're much more serious.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think that these guys were incredible musicians, and I think anybody would
and good songwriters.
Yeah, great songwriters. But so. The first record, or first song that we were going to play this week is actually, I think, one of the more proggy kind of songs on the album is Child of Vision, which I love this song, and it's about 7 minutes long, but the first part of the album, or the first part of the song, you can hear that Wurlitzer, and then the last part of the album, which is something that I've always liked about them, is that there's a lot of piano in everything they do, and so much of this song features a grand piano, and it's pretty awesome.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks.
We're talking about Supertramp's Breakfast in America. Came out right around this time, back in 1979. Am I reading that right?
79.
Yeah, 79. And it is our classic pick of the week.